Hey, if you're a Backstage Pass holder, then you know that every day we post a classic podcast that is a classic hour from our radio archives preceding the year 2006, our syndicated show, Los Angeles, Miami, and before. And this week, and until further notice, we're also going to be updating you on the whereabouts of Kenny Slagg. The disappearance of Kenny Slagg as recorded last week. You can listen to the classic podcast if you're a subscriber every day to find out more on the continuing saga of Kenny Slagg and what happened to him.
And now it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show from El Pacifico in Southern California. This is Wade Duxley speaking.
Okay, Wade, thank you. You don't have to point at me and go, you.
I didn't hear you say nothing. So.
No, Wade, you don't do all the talking Phil does. Thank you, Wade Duxley, or what? Is it Ward?
Yeah, it's Ward.
You just said Wade.
Just said it's Wade.
No, I didn't. You guys really ought to flush out your headgear.
Okay, that's what we get for letting him watch Full Metal Jacket. Anyway, welcome to the show.
What?
Thanks a lot, Ward or Wade. Sit down. Sit down, Nuxley, before you fall down. Where's Margaret?
I'm right here. Excuse me, I was washing my hands. I was washing my hands because of Phil has this delicious salmon that I was packaging up for Frank's dinner, and I got some on my hands.
Ew.
Oh, shut up.
You like that stuff?
I do.
That's Atlantic salmon. Those are two beautiful Atlantic salmon fillets that were caught by a friend of mine who had been in Alaska, frozen it, and brought it back down, and there you go.
Really?
No, not really. I got it over at the supermarket.
Oh, well, thanks a lot for nothing. I got my hands all over it.
What do you get your hands on it for?
Because I'm wrapping it up for Frank Jack.
Frank Jack?
Hey, bud, you know...
Sorry.
You're funny for about 5 seconds, then it's... Anyway, hi, welcome to the show. I guess this is the Phil Henry Show because... And a lot of people ask, what is this show? This show...
No one knows.
Yeah, nobody really knows. I should spend some time some night talking about what the show really is.
Oh, not one of those, okay, Phil? You got more of these shows where you're explaining things.
Well, I mean, people will say, what exactly is this, man? I said, well, it's like me having a conversation with my different personas. Everybody has this going on in their heads. I'm the only guy that I know of that actually articulates this.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. So having said all that, Margaret, what do we got tonight?
Well, tonight, thank you, Phil. Tonight, well, how come she gets to do it?
Because she knows. Do you know what's going on tonight?
No.
I do.
Okay, what?
He doesn't know jack squat. What's happening tonight? Excuse me.
Ew.
Do I have to put up with this?
Bud, take the salmon, put it in Margaret's car.
What do I get?
Take the salmon. Go ahead.
Tonight, we have Dean Wheeler and the great Dr. Arthur Barn.
All right, yeah.
All right, yeah.
Did you put in the salmon in the car?
I did.
Where'd you park the car? Inside the building?
Isn't that cute? Tonight we have Dr. Arthur Barn, General.
Yeah, all right.
Bud?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have Dean Wheeler, and they will be debating the relative merits of Midnight Mass.
Oh, this TV show I've been hearing so much about.
That's the one. It's one of the hottest shows on. Frank and I binge watched it. And Frank said, is that it? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I thought you said we were going to bilge watch it. And I said, if we were bilge watching it, we'd be watching it at one of those dumps that you booked me into to sing at every fall. All right.
Yeah.
Well, why aren't you guys...
Anyway, so it's going to be Dean Wheeler.
Dean Wheeler and Dr. Arthur Barn. Those of you who are familiar with Dr. Barn, you know he spent a good portion of his life hunting vampires until he figured out they don't exist. And he spent the last 5 years of his life telling people that vampires don't exist. General?
All right, yeah.
Hey, guys, let's not just keep cueing the applause,
you know, because we want people to love us.
That's not why I'm doing it, to accentuate. As Bud said, it's exclamatory.
Enough of the accentuation. So what we have here is a TV show. We have a debate tonight between...
Yes, between... You want me to repeat it?
Yeah.
Between Dr. Arthur Barn and Dean Wheeler about the merits of Midnight Mass.
Right. Now, Midnight Mass is a show by the director and the writer, I think, is...
Here, I've got it right here.
Hold on, Margaret. Let me say something here, okay?
Phil's the host of the show.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that.
All right, well, then let me host it. We got Midnight Mass. It is a show that, if I'm not mistaken, was created by Mike Flanagan, who's also the director, I think, of these episodes. Just one director. It was Mike Flanagan directed all of the... How many episodes are there, Margaret?
Well, there are 7 episodes, all right? So it's what they call a limited run. It ran this year, and as I said, Frank and I binge-watched it, or binge-watched, whatever you want to call it.
Got a binge-watch.
I know that. Mike Flanagan had also done some... was noted, I should say, for some other rather remarkable achievements in his life. As a writer, The Haunting of Bly Manor, Dr. Sleep, The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I heard about that one.
That one was very, very popular. Gerald's Game, Deborah, See Your Evil. It's right here.
Got it on the... got it on IDBB.
IMDB.
Okay. What?
Not IDBB.
Before I Wake is another Hush, and so on and so forth. Oculus, General?
Never heard of it.
Anyway, not just as a writer, but also as a director. Midnight Mass, The Haunting of Bly Manor, Dr. Sleep, The Haunting of Hill House.
I take it that he directs what he writes, and I can't blame the guy. That's
Well, as I said, he took the... He helmed... That's a Hollywood word. He helmed... Helmed, General?
Yes.
That's the directing.
Okay.
All 7 episodes of Midnight Mass.
Right. Now, Midnight Mass has been very well received, and what we're going to hear tonight... are 2 opposing viewpoints on it. What would those be?
Well, in the case of Dean Wheeler, you can imagine Dean likes the show. And in the case of Dr. Barn, I suppose you could well imagine he does not like it.
Well, because Dr. Barn doesn't believe in vampires anymore.
He doesn't believe in vampires anymore, even to the point where he doesn't want to promote them as fiction. But also, he has some very pointed, and I would say, let's just say some pointed and harsh critiques.
Ms. Gray, you just went harsh.
Thank you very much for that. I didn't need that pointed out.
Right, it's just that if you didn't hear yourself, you went harsh.
Okay, bud, we got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And some very harsh...
Ah, my ears.
Yeah. Critiques of this, and we will hear those tonight on these here very airwaves on The Phil Henry Show.
Midnight Mass. And
did you watch it, Phil?
I did, yes.
And what's your opinion?
I'm going to reserve my opinion. This is a debate between Dr. Barn.
Oh, come on, Henry.
No. This is a debate between Dr. Barn and between Dean Wheeler. It's not really a debate, is it?
No, these are... They will share opposing...
Opposing.
Thank you. Opposing viewpoints. Debate, I think, is a bit harsh. I think they will spar. I think they will dance. Glance. They may jab. They may... You know, circle each other, go back to their corners, come back out. Maybe pop a jet. Well,
all right, we're not watching a prize fight.
In any event, yes, that's what I think they'll do. Not really debate so much as spar the various points of view.
All right, well, let's get the gentleman on the phone right now here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up first is Dean Wheeler, who is at the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean, I know you've had a very, very rough day. Appreciate you joining us for this. And I know you did enjoy the show, right?
I did, Phil. I watched Midnight Mass. I binge-watched it with Emeralda. We had just had a couple weeks with Emeralda over here at the boat and at the school, a couple of local night spots where she'd been singing. And I said, let's relax. And she, cute thing, honey, would talk about what I said, let's relax. And you began to grease your fist up.
What a thing to say, Dean.
I was just kidding, honey. I was just kidding. Anyway.
Dean, keep that kind of talk to yourself if you don't mind.
Okay. I mean, I've just.
All right. So, Dean, you said relax and your wife greased up her fist. Please, General. Sorry.
Yeah, General. Mr. Henry jumped down my throat about it. Now, you. See, I'm nervous now.
I didn't mean to make you nervous. I just would hope that you would recognize that there's all kinds of people listening to this podcast.
Well, I thought you had some kind of a warning on it that said 18 years of age and older.
We have that on our YouTube videos. I don't know that there's any such warning, although it does have an E for explicit, right, Bud?
That is correct. We have E for explicit on our podcast over on Spotify and elsewhere. But on our website, you know.
If you're on our website, you better know it. We're not about to start leading people by the hand. No, that's not the case, General. We let people know. I don't know what I'm going on and on about this for.
Well, with the point being, Phil, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, you know, Emeralda was lubing her, you know.
Thank you very much, Dean. And
on the other side of the debate, we have Dr. Arthur Barn, who my understanding is in the bathtub tonight. I'm only, Dr. Barn, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Barncastle, how are you?
I'm good. I'm told that you're taking a bath, which is fine.
Yes, Mr. Dickman, young Mr. Dickman said that I could be taking a bath. Oh, boy, if I know that, I'd be taking a bath myself. And are you Mr. Wheeler? Yeah, Dean Wheeler, how are you, sir? I'm very good, thank you. I'm looking forward to our spirited commentary on this.
And as long as you're taking the bath, what we tell people, Dr. Barn, is to try to keep the splashing to a minimum and maybe not turn the hot water on.
Okay, I have a chronic Charlie horse. It's not really chronic, but I have a chronic muscle tension in my shoulder blade, my left shoulder blade. And Mr. Dutman said that on occasion I can put hot water in the tub.
I told him just on account of that. Dickman, you know that that's distracting.
If this is a problem, Phil.
No, if you've got to relieve some pain, of course. But while we're talking, you know.
I will be very gentle. In fact, let me do it before we start. So let me just do this now. Oh, yeah.
What? Get him. Is Mr. Wheeler still there? Mr. Wheeler there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. I heard. What was that?
Dr. Barn put some hot water in the tub.
Yeah, Dr. Barn, if you wouldn't mind, sir, don't go, yeah. Huh? Yeah, don't go, yeah. Just go, you know, when you turn the hot water on. Mr. Henry would like it if you do that. Are you there, sir?
I'm right here, yeah. What happened?
Nothing, sir. We needed to warn you. You were getting a little loud when you got the hot water.
Oh, I'm very, very sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It felt very, very relaxing.
I know what you mean, Dr. Barn. I run a holistic center as well as a resort hotel, and the therapeutic nature of hot water and spas and so forth, it's quite relaxing.
And you run a spa where?
Wheeler Resort. We're in Northern California in Mill Valley, and we have a beautiful resort overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, I would love to try that sometime. My wife and I...
Okay, gentlemen, okay, if we need to get to talking about... Maybe we could do this at the end of the debate, if that's okay?
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we do want to get to this show. Midnight Mass is the name of the show. Dr. Barn, I take it you've seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
And Dean?
We did. We watched all 7 episodes, Emeralda and I. In fact, I had made a carrot cake, and Emeralda busted out the Elder Bubby wine.
What is Elder Bubby wine?
Yeah, what is that?
It's elderberry wine, but it's a little viscous. It's got fruit sugar, so there's an oil to it. And forgive me, because I know you chastised me, Phil, for being too graphic, but we do use it as a sex lube. And
can we, you know what, Dean, this is Margaret, please, you know full well that that kind of talk...
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sex lube. Well, there's a hot one. What's it called, Elder Bubby wine? You know, wherever you buy that, I'll take a taste.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen, but we do want to get to this. And that's great that you bust out the Elder Bubby wine.
That's right, Elder Bubby. Mr. Henry, Dr. Barn, you may not know this. He doesn't like it, but then he goes, Elder Bubby wine, like he's at a drag race or something.
I've noticed that.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Do you want to talk about this, or would you like to, you know, you can do that on your own time, or would you like to talk about Midnight Mass?
Well, all right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
All right, let's talk about Midnight Mass. Dean, the show is Midnight Mass, directed and created by Mike Flanagan, starring Hamish Linklater. There's a great many actors in this a program, all of note, I would say, all of some very, very strong note.
Well, you say strong note. That sounds like they got B.O. or something.
Yeah, I noticed that.
What I'm saying is, you know what I'm talking about, Doctor.
Yes, I do, Phil. I'm just trying to, I know that we're on the podcast and that people endeavor to be entertaining. I'm trying to throw some jokes in.
Let me do that. We just want to get your opinion, if you wouldn't mind, on the show. And we'll have Dean kick it off. But as I was saying, the actors here on Midnight Mass are Hamish Linklater, who plays the young priest. Father, I'd say the young priest. There's nothing young about him. He's actually a quite old priest because he is, in point of fact, the vampire. Right, Dean?
Yes, he is. Father Paul, Father Pruitt, as he is also known in the program, played by the actor Hamish Linklater, returns to the small village, which is on an island. And the people have been a bit traumatized since their parish priest went missing, Father Pruitt. They're not sure what happened to him. But what does eventually begin happening on the island are a series of people are having miraculous recoveries from paralysis or different things like that, and they're dying and spitting up blood and
what I don't understand. So they're dying and spitting up blood. What?
Well, it's hard to explain the show, but basically the priest, upon his return, begins to things happen good, but also things happen that are bad. Like one of the guys gets the blood sucked out, and eventually he cooks up in the sun. And what the main church biddy, she turns into a vampire. But all of this is supposed to be the well intentions, the good intentions of this Father Pruitt. You know, Mr. Henry.
And I know. And having seen it, I know what it's about. I don't know if you're explaining it all that well.
Can I jump in here for just a moment?
No, I want to finish what I have to say, if you don't mind, Dr. Barr. I don't know what you mean. What I'm basically saying is the town is visited by this priest that it turns out was their long-missing priest, Father Pruitt. And what happens is good things and bad things start to happen. Like this one girl who was paralyzed, she not paralyzed no more. She isn't paralyzed anymore. And just stuff like that. There's an instance where this girl is pregnant, and then all of a sudden she's not pregnant, and they don't know what happened to the baby. You know. So things like that.
Well, let me ask you this: I'm going to ask these questions if I haven't seen it. What exactly is the purpose of this priest? Is that he returns? They haven't seen the older priest is gone, right?
Yeah, the old priest, Father Pruitt, is gone. Now this young priest shows up. It turns out that's Father Pruitt. He got bit by a vampire in Mesopotamia or some Middle Eastern place, and this vampire has returned with him. And they're beginning to turn everybody in the town into vampires so they can be closer to God. I think that's...
Now, that is a very good way of explaining it. So we have to get into the particulars. The priest believes that in turning all of these other people into vampires, in drinking the blood, which is supposedly the blood of Christ, they're closer to God.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really what you were explaining.
No, I know that, but I'm a little bit nervous.
No, that's okay. Essentially, that's the... And this priest, by the way, is very much a good guy, I would say, right? I mean, he's not a stalking, malevolent type.
No, not at all. I mean, he would remind anybody of the parish priest. It's just that he doesn't go out during the daytime, and his skin starts to blister up and cook when he's in the sun. But otherwise, he's extremely benevolent. I'm sorry, I'm trying to say the word benevolent.
Benevolent, yes.
Right.
All right, Dr. Barn, I don't suppose we're talking, you know, we're not really saying much about the show.
No, you're not. And let me cut to the chase on this show that that Mr. Wheeler here seems to think is such a terrific show. Everything he says is true in terms of the plot. The priest shows up. It turns out that he's actually the long-lost elderly priest, now made new, now made young again by some vampire that he meets in the Middle East. And he comes back to this village to do good, to do well by the people. And eventually... he recognizes that he has not done well by the people, that the people that have been turned into vampires have turned violent, are beginning to feast on the blood of their fellow citizens, and this priest is feeling very negative about that.
That's right. That's the thing I forgot to say. Okay. Yeah, well, you had your chance.
Wait. Just let Dean...
All right. Well, I'm sorry, but you're right. That's the priest, being well-intentioned that I pointed out, finally realizes that turning all these people into vampires, you know, is not the best thing. And so eventually the whole town, you know, the sunrise, they all go down to the ocean to watch the sunrise. And guess what?
Yeah, they're flambéed is basically what happened.
Yeah, right there, right. What the lady said, they get flambéed. All right, me?
Go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to say that you said it already, that the priest thought he was doing a good thing. So my main problem...
That the priest thought he was doing a good thing, and he was doing a good thing.
Okay, I hope you got it all out.
Thank you, Dean. Go ahead, Doctor.
Phil, my main problem with this show is very simple. It's not scary. Now, I know that vampires don't exist, and I don't expect that this program should prove that they do. I'm not even expecting the program should prove that they don't exist, because I realize it's a work of fiction and fantasy and, as we say, a horror classic and so forth. What I don't like about the show is it's not scary. If you have a vampire show, it should be scary. And there is nothing scary, per se, about this. I agree with everyone when they say that the young actor, Mr. Linklater, does his very best. He's probably the best actor on the screen. He's probably the best actor of the whole seven episodes of the show. But it never rises above a lot of hammy acting, a lot of scenery chewing, especially on the part of that one woman that plays the old biddy. I forget the name of the actress. You mentioned her, Phil.
There's no need to single out anybody. I mean, if you want to talk about the character.
Okay, fine. That's great. The character. She's about as, what a ham. And then we have the other, the mayor of the town, who is an irritant. We have the young man, and that's a part of the plot line that you failed to mention there, Dean, the young son who returns after killing a girl in a drunk driving accident.
Oh, yeah. Let me just mention that. No, it's my turn.
Dean, let you know, everybody can, you know, talk about it. We don't have to have you jumping in and saying, you know, I forgot to say something.
What?
Just let Dr. Barn finish.
Let me finish. Okay. So that young man, who one thought might be the protagonist, turns very rapidly that he's consumed by this entire vampire phenomenon, that he really doesn't have a whole much to offer. And other than the fact that he's in love with this young one lady, and one thinks that perhaps they would consummate this love, and they do not. Point being that the characters are, many of them are sort of stereotypical. I think they're very wooden. I think a lot of them are right out of central casting. And I haven't been so bored with what was supposed to be a scary film since I saw The Ring. And
you think The Ring was scary?
The Ring, no, I'm sorry. I hate to have to tell you that The Ring was not scary.
All right, well, let's not talk. We're not going to review The Ring here, but you're saying that it did not live up to the hype.
No, it didn't live up to the hype. I find it amazing. I find it stunning that the audience could have found anything the least bit scary, quote unquote, or even intriguing about this. I think that the theme, whatever, if you're calling this the theme of this is redemption, I don't think they got it said at all.
All right. Now, that's a good question. What do you think the message was in this, Dean?
Oh, I think absolutely the message was that religion, in the name of trying to partake of this sacrament, which in Christianity is very sacred, I think they are making the statement that religion is turning people into something evil, and that religion is not supposed to do that. Religion is supposed to keep you close to God. And what the Midnight Mass is saying, okay, is that the
I didn't see that at all.
Hold on, Doctor. Go ahead, Dean.
What Midnight Mass is saying is that our very best of intentions, when they are polluted with our own desires, our own worldliness, when there are our own egos, when our own self-love gets in the way, then things turn despicably evil. And that's what happens in this town. In the name of Christianity, these people all turn into bloodsuckers. I'm Dean Wheeler.
All right, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Bud.
Thank you, Bud.
Dr. Barn.
Dr. Barn what?
Well, what do you think of what Dean said? I mean, I understand you don't like the show, but do you think it was it clear what they were going for?
Not at all. Not in the least. It was not clear what they were going for. To me, it was, at the outset, a cheap little vampire story. A guy cooks in the boat. Here comes the priest. There's some guy running out in the rain and the wind. You don't know who he is. I guess he's supposed to be the old priest or the young. Maybe he's the vampire.
I think that was supposed to be the that evil vampire that came with him.
Well, whatever. I don't know who he was. And if I'm not mistaken, at the very beginning of this show, the priest, who is a vampire and isn't supposed to be
able to go out in the sun is out in the middle of the day. They're having some kind of a festival of some kind.
Yeah, I noticed that too. They were playing folk songs and everything.
Yeah. And by the way, talk about a depressing town. The folk music that kicks this show off, you might as well just go ahead and slit your throat and tell a vampire have at it, because I don't watch this show.
Okay, Dr. Arthur Barr. So your main criticism was the theme of the show, Midnight Mass, wasn't clear, and besides, everything was just all hammy and...
Oh, a lot of scenery chewing, I told you, and just over the top. Every single scene, it seemed like, was way, way over the top in terms of... The only man who struck the true note, I think, and I agree with you on this, is the priest, Father Pruitt.
So there it is, folks. Dean Wheeler and I was going to call you Father Arthur Barn.
Well, I'll take it.
Dr. Arthur Barn, who at one point was a firm believer in vampires, now he doesn't, but that's not why we had you on the show. It was...
No, you got me on the show so I could rip it an ass, and I'm very happy to do it. I would recommend to everyone, you want to see a good vampire movie, you want to see a good, clean, lots of fun, lots of blood-sucking, you don't believe any of it, but it's a fun, fun deal. See that 30 Days and 30 Nights, the one from about Alaska.
Oh, did you watch it?
No, I've never seen it, but someone told me that it was...
Then why would we want to recommend it if you haven't seen it?
Because someone told me it was good. I saw it. I thought it sucked. Yeah, well, I'm not taking your word for it.
All right, Dr. Arthur Barn, thank you very much. Dean Wheeler, thank you very much for this review tonight of Midnight Mass here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And now we'd like to welcome on the program someone that we're very excited to have with us because we haven't talked to him in so long. Coach Vernon Dozier, and we've been looking at your tweets, Coach Dozier, and one might say, in looking at your tweets, that you've been decidedly depressed lately.
Oh, no, I don't. I hope I'm not giving that impression. I'm not depressed. We're having a bad season.
I looked and saw the record, man. You guys have won one game, and I don't know who that was over. Was that...
Well, we actually won two games, Phil. We beat Monk, Key Prep, third game of the season. I thought maybe we'd turn around because we'd lost our first two games.
Well, that's right.
And then we just had this win last weekend at Load Poly. And
what is the name of the school, Load Poly?
That's right. What about it?
I don't know. Where is that?
Well, here it is. Newsflash. Fresno, California.
Oh, chop, Fresno.
I've never heard of Load Poly.
Maybe it's a new school. Maybe they built it. At a time since you left Fresno, which was when? What century was that, General?
All right, fine. You made your point.
I'm just kidding around with you. Let's not. But anyway, yeah, it was in Fresno, and we were there, as a matter of fact. And that was a long bus ride for the kids, but we came away with a win on that one. But it's been a tough year.
So you've won two games and lost. I don't know, one, two, three, four. You've won two games and lost five. I don't know what you got coming up, but.
Well, our next game is the last game of the season. We're going to be at home against Blue Moon Tech.
Blue Moon Tech, boy. Are these private schools?
Hey, General, what's the story with you, man? These are actual schools.
I know, I've not heard of them, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of them are private. A lot of them are private Catholic high schools. I mean, that's the league we're in, okay? The Leprechaun, we got moved in Division III A Leprechaun League because, quite frankly, they thought we were too strong for full Division III, and we were too strong for the Watusi League, so they moved us into the Leprechaun League.
They thought you were too strong, and they put you in the Leprechaun. All right.
Hey, you know something?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I don't know how high school football works, and, you know, that's why I'm here. All right, General, I hope we've answered your questions.
Yeah.
So, Coach, tough, tough year for you, and you and I were having a conversation the other day about, by the way, where are you?
I'm in the gym right now because the kind of year that we've had, it's all I can do to keep from tearing someone's head off. And I'm not, General, I got great respect for you, but the way you've been riding me here.
I'm just having some fun. I'm sorry. You know, I haven't heard of these schools. It's been a long time since I went to a high school football game.
Hey, anytime you want to come out to see Belmar and you have a strong stomach and you don't mind taking abuse, then yeah, we'll invite you out. I'll put you on the 50-yard line.
All right, well, I'll take you up on that. I'll bring Patsy with me.
Great. Just make sure that she's, got something to cover her eyes and her ears in case things get really sick.
Coach, things are that bad for you, huh?
It's been a bad year, no question about it. But I don't know,
We're reading your Twitter feed, and sometimes you make noises like you're going to quit.
It's spent a lot of years, Phil, and you know, I've coached football for ever since I left playing as a player, and I immediately got into coaching college ball, and I went to the professional level, and I came back down to a high school level, which has probably been the most satisfying coaching that I've done. But it's been a lot of years, and after a while, you know, as I said, you get a little sick and tired of, you know, as I said, I work at Subway at a sandwich shop, and then I work over here at Whaley Dump and Disposal. Now, that's a garbage dump.
You work at a garbage dump?
Yeah, it's a recycling dump.
Whaley, it's dump and disposal is like they do recycling.
Well, yeah, that's what they say. But let me tell you, people, when we talk about recycling, people don't care. Yeah, I pick through the recycling to make sure that's all. Half it, there's diapers, there's loaded up.
Oh, man.
But there I am picking through it. And you want to know why, Phil? Because this is how far I've fallen. I'd rather pick through garbage with somebody's baby's loaded diaper than I'm just sticking my hand into the garbage and then, yeah, there it goes into something warm and soft. And it's not cat fur. And
oh, Jesus.
That's right. But I do it, and I pull my hand out, I take a sniff, and I think, would I rather be back coaching football than have my hand smelling like baby shit?
My God, Coach.
I'm sorry. You think that's funny, huh, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, but the...
What's the answer come back as?
The answer comes back, I hear the voice. I don't even hear myself saying it, even though I am saying it. I'd rather be doing this than coaching football.
I don't believe that for a minute. I think you're just trying to be funny. We have Coach Vernon Dozier with us.
I am, huh?
Yeah, you are. Because if you didn't like it, man, you'd quit. Coach Dozier is over at the gym there at Belmar Academy. They're into another football seat. You got one game left. It's not going to be a winning year. You're coming off of two other losing seasons. I know you don't want to talk football. Let me just ask you one simple question. Are the prospects better for next year?
I thought they were better for this year. We give young student-athletes a full ride at Belmar Academy. Father McCorris believes in it. And we've always got our antenna up and our eyes out for good players. We've got a couple of good freshman prospects coming. I don't know what the answer is, but I can tell you that there isn't a stone that we leave unturned. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not thinking about how I can make this team better. And then there isn't a day that doesn't go by that I'm thinking, I can't wait to get back to my job in a garbage dump in the summer rather than do this.
Oh, Coach Dozier, I don't believe that for a second.
You don't, huh? Ms. Gray?
No, I do not.
Ms. Gray, I tell you what. I invite you, Phil, Bud Dickman, General Shaw, anybody who wants to come on out to Whaley Dump and Disposal during the summer and watch me pick through garbage with a big smile on me. I'll look up at you and I'll go, hi, as I pick through garbage full of loaded baby diapers, vomit-soaked shirts that people didn't bother to wash. They just threw them into the garbage. You wouldn't believe, and I'd rather have my hands in that than coaching. So come on out this summer. I'll be out there, just like I was at. I'll be at Subway sandwich shop. And
so you got a fully, excuse me for saying, a fully loaded summer.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's a fully loaded summer. I'm 3 days at Subway, 2 days at Whaley Dump and Disposal, picking through garbage. And you'll say, "Hi, Coach. How are you enjoying this? Or would you rather coach?" And I'll say, "I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven." That's how I feel about it.
All right, Coach. Now, you know that Belmar Academy, I talked to Father McCordes. He said you guys don't have the money for it, which I don't believe because you got some pretty well-heeled parents. But have you thought about an ice hockey team?
Are you kidding? This is high school, Phil, okay?
There's high schools with hockey, with ice hockey.
Yeah, they're in the Northeast and in the North. They're in places where the kids are going to get in good practice time. Where are they going to? I got to build a skating rink and hope that the other schools that are going to build skating rinks, so we have enough skating rinks, so we have a hockey team. There isn't a chance in hell.
Well, you know, we're talking about a good contact sport.
Here's what I think about hockey. I think hockey's great. I'm glad that you find it amusing. I'm glad you find... You talk about a guy that's quit football, Phil. You talk about me. Why did you quit football?
What do you mean? I didn't quit football. I watch it.
Oh, do you? You watch like one game. You do nothing but sit and watch hockey morning, noon. You got to hear him, folks. He calls me up. Hey, did you see this game between the so and the so? I don't even know the teams. You don't watch football anymore, do you?
I don't watch a lot of football, no.
Okay, then what are you talking about me for?
Because it's your profession, man. For me, it's just it's a pastime. It's your profession.
Well, Phil, I'll tell you. I don't watch hockey. You can take hockey and you can park that where you can stick lacrosse too, and all those other sports that they wanted me to coach. I'm a football coach. okay?
I want you to relax, Coach.
No, wait. Because this has been coming to a head for a while.
Coach, your blood pressure.
Wait a minute. Now, Phil.
Coach, when you start making those noises, we worry you're going to have a stroke.
I'm fine, but I'm just telling my friend Phil. You can watch hockey. You can have a good time watching hockey. And you have that good time watching hockey, okay? I would watch hockey if it was the last sport. On Earth. Hold on, I gotta lift.
Coach, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. I gotta do a little lifting. Hold on. Here, I'm gonna get on the arm machine. Joey, spot me, will you?
Now watch it, Coach.
I'm fine. Here we go.
How many pounds?
I didn't get it up off the rack. I'm sorry. I gotta try that again.
Okay, we gotta go, man.
Oh, you gotta go, man. All right, man. See you later, Phil. See you at the next game. That'll be like, you gonna be out there at Load?
You're at home against Load, right?
We're at home. Yeah. No. It's Blue Moon. But we're gonna be at home against Blue Moon Tech coming up this Saturday night.
Yeah, if we got tickets waiting for us.
Oh God.
If you got tickets waiting for you.
All right, we'll buy our way in. That's fine.
I'm only kidding. Of course, it'll be to you and. Jackie's not with you. Bring along one of your buddies or something.
All right. So this Saturday night, it's Belmar Academy, last game of the season against?
This Saturday night, last game of the season against Blue Moon Tech.
And we'll see you there, Coach, and thanks so much for everything.
Thanks so much for everything. You haven't gotten into the game yet.
I'm kidding. Thank you anyway, Coach, and I hope here's for a big win this Saturday night. Did you enter the season a little early?
Yeah, we did. As a matter of fact, at the request of Father McQuarters, we cut our season back because of COVID. And because I said to him, I'm getting sick of losing, so you might as well just, pack it in.
So the CIF let you do that?
Yeah, they let us do it. We just said, hey, we don't want the kids to get infected with COVID. Cool, you've heard about it, right?
Of course I have.
All right.
All right, there goes Coach Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. And the best of luck to the coach and the team as they take on Blue Moon Tech. And good luck there at the, whatever that place is called.
Yeah, it's called Global Waste and Dump.
Global Waste, that's had three different names. Three different names, same smell.
Isn't that cute?
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Don't forget, coming up after the show here, go over to our classic podcast, or you could do it before the show, I guess.
Yeah, just go to our classic podcast, those of you that are BSPs, and listen for the further adventures of Kenny Slagg, the disappearance of Kenny Slagg. Just go to our classic podcast there in the Daily Show link, and it's more Kenny Slagg, or is it? They find that guy. Not necessarily alive. I'm kidding, I'm joking around, folks.